This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we mosey further along in the Psalter, finishing up Psalm 69 and then on into Psalm 70. Zeal for your house, reproaches break my heart, blot it out. I will magnify him and do not delay. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Christ has appeared to us.
A reading from Luke, the 17th chapter. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. O Lord, have mercy upon us."
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
Amen.
Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen among you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How great it is to end the winter quarter with such a wonderful passage about the office. In our lesson from Luke 17, Jesus first addresses the disciples, that is, the larger number of the 70 plus perhaps other followers. Our Lord's teaching to the disciples then provokes a response in the core group of his followers, namely the 12 apostles. So clearly, Jesus here is addressing those whom he sends to minister on his behalf. That is why this text is so very applicable to all of you, whom the very same Jesus is today preparing, and according to his will one day be sending to do the same in his church. Jesus begins his address to his ministers by talking first about scandals, the scandala. These are often translated as temptations to sin, although we know that the same word means the stumbling block of offense. The Greek origins of the term refer to a snare or a trap. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me, Jesus says in the Beatitudes. So Jesus himself is the prime cause of offense. Jesus himself is the stumbling block that scandalizes many. Jesus himself and his gospel are the snare and the trap. That is especially true of his holy cross that is a scandal to both the unbelieving Jew and Greek alike. Jesus warns his disciples sternly about those through whom these stumbling blocks come, so that they cause others to fall away. So our Lord is here warning the disciples about those who by their words and behavior cause God's dear children to fall away from the church and apostatize. It is impossible for scandals not to come, the Lord declares. Nevertheless, woe the one through whom they are coming. It is better for him if a millstone is tied around his throat and he has been thrown into the sea, rather than that he scandalize one of these little ones. So whom does Jesus mean by these little ones? Although we might naturally be inclined to think of children here, that is not the correct answer. The little ones here simply refer to God's dear children. That is, those who belong to Jesus's little flock. Jesus may here be especially thinking of the least in the kingdom of God that he has spoken about, who nevertheless are all greater than John the Baptist ever was. Christ is clearly drawing the disciples' attention to the danger of treating his little ones in a way that will lead them astray and even outside of salvation. This echoes our Lord's criticism of the hypocrisy and economic abuses of the Jewish leadership in the chapter just before our text. Especially two-faced pretense and dishonesty with money can do great harm in the kingdom of God. And soon after these sayings, one of the 12 apostles will prove this absolutely right in the most gruesome of ways. Judas, who had already been a dishonest treasurer, was showing one face to Jesus and his fellow apostles and another to the Jewish leaders, who then bribed his betrayal with their coins. Pay attention to yourselves, Jesus exclaims to the disciples, for a most tangible reason in this context. So first, Jesus condemns the one who scandalizes those who belong to him. He tells the disciples to pay attention lest they cause such offense. And secondly, Jesus turns their attention to those who repent of their sins. even of the sins of causing such horrible offense. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So Jesus continues to address the larger crowd of the disciples by saying, if your brother sins, he's first and foremost talking about the sins of fellow disciples and apostles, even of Judas. Whoever repents of his sins must be forgiven in the kingdom of God, even if he fall into the same sin and repent seven times a day. Even the one who causes offense and scandalizes others must be thus forgiven if and when he turns. Even Judas would have been forgiven had he turned to look to Christ for forgiveness instead of staring only at the most grievous sin of his own, being crushed by that guilt and shame, finally taking his own life. Dear Christians, this is radical stuff. Who can be such a forgiving disciple that he forgives even a traitor amongst the collegium of brethren among the 70, let alone amongst the 12? That is why the apostles approached Jesus with this commanding request: increase to us faith. What the 12 failed to realize is that they already have faith, although it is not yet completed with the understanding granted by the risen Lord and the bravery of the Spirit of Pentecost. The apostles do not need more faith. Even a little mustard seed of faith is enough. They just need to put that faith into practice. This is what Jesus had, in fact, already taught them in the Lord's Prayer. In Luke, we find this highlighted very emphatically. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Everyone. Yet, that forgiveness is only possible for those enlightened by the all-forgiving gospel. Dear little ones of God, dear fellow brethren, our reading today is highly applicable to you, pastors and future pastors of Christ's church. You are being called in a very specific way to protect the little ones in the flock that your Lord will entrust to your care from those who would like to tempt them away from the truth of his word and cause them to stumble away. Already now in the royal priesthood, and one day, God willing, in the apostolic office of the holy ministry of Christ, you are called to pray, you are called to pay attention that you yourself do not scandalize others with your sinful words and behavior so that others fall away. When called and ordained into Christ's office, you will be called to absolve all who repent of their sins, even those committed against you personally, and even repeated sins, even repeated abuses, time and time again, even seven times a day. And this applies to all of you, dear little ones of Christ, hearing this sermon, even if you are not a pastor or a future potential pastor. Christ calls you too to watch your words and deeds, lest you cause others to stumble away from the kingdom of God. And Christ calls you to forgive the Judases in your life, even if they repeatedly turn back from the same sins seven times per day. This is radical stuff. What then is your immediate reaction to these radical ethics of the kingdom of God? will you yourself exclaim to Jesus, increase to me my faith, just as the apostles did when they saw the weakness of their faith. So hear this, little one of Christ. Also to you, Jesus responds, your mustard seed of faith is already enough. I will water it with my word and grant it growth. After all, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. After all, the forgiveness of sins is one of my miracles that I have done for you and for the whole world. I have already borne your sin and their shame, guilt, and punishment on the cross. I have already set you perfectly free by being bound by your sins. Why would you then continue to bind others to captivity by withholding them of your forgiveness? After all, I was nailed to the cross for them too. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Thank you.
our prayers, we remember seminarian Caleb Hoverson, who is starting short-term treatment this morning for health issues that have arisen. We also remember those traveling over the academic break, including those on the Cantori tour, the Dominican Republic study trip, and all professors and students. Let us pray. O Lord, hear my prayer. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you forgive all our iniquities and heal all our diseases. You sent your only begotten Son to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Be merciful to Caleb, pardon all his sins, and restore his health according to your will. Preserve his faith and keep him and his family in your peace and safety. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.